And it is the Sully Show, and on Fridays at noon, Sully gets a little bit of a break, but not so much. We're actually going to have him on this section of his own show today. We're going to graciously invite him back into the time that he gives us. This is Charlie Harper, and I'm now the publisher and editor-in-chief of georgiapol.com, GeorgiaPol.com. It is a new website with a lot of familiar faces, and by faces, I mean people that type things into the internet. But we're a group that likes to cover the inside of Georgia politics and policy, and thus the pronunciation, which apparently has been one of the hot topics as we've established this new venture this week. Georgia Paul, as in politics or policy. Anyway, with us today in studio, I've got John Richards, editor of Georgia Paul. And by the way, titles, we're going to get around to assigning them eventually. We kind of had to pull this together quickly, so we're informal. But John's an important person to us, and for lack of a better word, he gets to play traffic cop right now as an assignment editor, as well as making sure that we've actually got content. And he's kind of our chief reporter down at the Capitol as well, spending his most of the time there. And then we're going to have Sully in here because we've got a topic that's come up this week near and dear to his heart. Guns! Guns in Georgia! And apparently some people are bold enough in this state to actually go ahead and produce a bill that is dead on arrival to start confiscating guns or something. Honestly, with the week I've had, I haven't had time to read the details, but I don't need to because it's not going anywhere. But John's read it, and we've got a couple of articles on Georgia Paul, and we'll talk about that. But this is a brand new week of the Georgia General Assembly, and there's 40 business days that will be in session, and we expect to be out by the 24th of March, plus or minus a couple of days. And during that time, our legislators get to make laws, and the governor then will have a few days to decide if he wants to sign them into law or not. But this is where we make law, and that's where we are in the state of Georgia. We have a citizen legislature that comes and meets, and they give up their day jobs for a couple of months, and for the rest of the year, they still get to do committee meetings and get yelled at by an ungrateful public and told that they're all just horrible people. But they set all that aside and get to come to Atlanta, where they can be told they're horrible people while they try to make laws for us. And the first week, there's a lot of pageantry, but in the pageantry, there's a certain cadence of things that happen. And so it all begins the Sunday night before they gavel into session on Monday with something called the Wild Hog Supper, where everyone goes to the freight depot. It's open to the public. It's now a fundraiser for, I believe, the Atlanta Community Food Bank and an association of food banks. We don't really ever learn a lot at that. It's really like first day of school. Everyone checks out who's wearing new clothes and who's dating whom. And then they move on to the real stuff that starts Monday, day of pageantry. And then the real stuff starts happening on Tuesday. And that is where the Georgia Chamber of Commerce holds a full convention hall at the Georgia World Congress Center, and I think the number is roughly about 3,000 people show
up. It's a huge event.
And you hear all of the heads of Georgia's government just about, I hate to say things like this, but anyone who's anyone is there, and there's clearly a lot of important people that don't make it in the room, but it's where the first news of the session is made because the governor, the speaker, and the lieutenant governor all get key speaking spots to kind of lay out what their agenda is for the next 40 days. So, John, I'll pitch it over to you. You attended the event, I believe. I was there. And what did we learn, Dorothy, as they say? What was the news that came out of that to you? I've got my own, and
right.
Think we might agree on it. But what did you hear that wasn't necessarily public at that point as far as a public statement of where we're going in policy?
Right. The governor was kind of holding his cards close to the vest because he had the event that went on Wednesday, which is going to be the state of the state. So he didn't want to reveal everything that was going to go on. He gave some tips. What I thought was more interesting was what we heard from Lieutenant Governor Cagle and Speaker Ralston. And Lieutenant Governor Cagle covered a couple of familiar topics for him: transportation, which of course was largely addressed last year, and education, which is another one of Lieutenant Governor Cagle's passions. But he also got into rural health care and how to address that problem that's going to be in front of Georgians. And then we got to Speaker Ralston, and the speaker also addressed the issue of health care. He did a little bit differently, though. He didn't restrict it strictly to problems in South Georgia, rural Georgia, where they're really having trouble. Speaker Ralston actually has a hospital in his county that is in trouble and getting ready to close, perhaps. But he pointed out that Children's Healthcare is the largest Medicaid provider in the state of Georgia. And, of course, they do a lot of business in Atlanta.
And that was strategically for me. That's how One of the things I work on in policy is how do you change the message where people understand what the real message is. And when you talk about the subject of Medicaid in Georgia, very often people hear the silent word expansion after that and then start going down that road of debate. And we have an existing Medicaid program in Georgia before you ever even pick up that other topic of expansion that is underfunded to the point that every patient that any doctor or hospital sees, they lose money on, because the state of Georgia does not pay for the full cost of services. And I did speak with Children's Healthcare this week, one of their representatives, and confirmed a number I'd heard before. And Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, that serves patients from all 159 counties in the state of Georgia, plus a few others, they lose $100 million a year, just under that. But it rounding up, it's just shy of $100 million a year on their Medicaid patients alone. These aren't uninsured patients. These are ones that, again, qualify for the Medicaid program, and they lose $100 million. And if a organization the size of Children's can be losing that, you can imagine what happens to these rural hospitals and other urban hospitals. Grady, Southern Regional Medical Center. We've already lost Southern Adventist Hospital in South Cobb. There are urban hospitals that have this same problem. And so, to me, that was the tell of the chamber breakfast, of the issue that no one's talking about, that we're going to talk about and hopefully start figuring out how to solve, is the Medicaid problem with no silent word expansion tacked onto it. We've got a problem before we even debate that other topic. Moving on, then the next day, State of the State, Governor Deal laid out his personal agenda, which is a rather important one, given that he has line item veto power and a little bit of statutory authority on things. So what'd you take away? We've got a couple minutes left in this segment. What'd you take away from State of the State from the governor?
Sure. One of the things that we had been talking about prior to the session was the what was going to happen with his education study panel that met basically all last year and came up with some recommendations dealing with trying to come up with a replacement formula for the QBE, Quality Basic Education Act, how they fund K-12 schools, and then also merit pay. And the governor, after consideration, said, you know, I'm going to do what I can in the budget to provide additional funding for schools, including a 3% pay raise. That's part of the money that's going additionally into the budget. But he's not going to try to move any legislation this year. And the merit pay issue has gotten to be quite controversial. Down at Capitol Hill, folks are not very excited about it. They don't know how to really get it done in a meaningful way. My understanding from insiders is that they're going to try a couple of pilot projects. I think Gwinnett's going to have one. A couple other school districts are going to have them. They're going to get teachers involved, have a study committee, I think five places over the summer after session ends. And then once that's all over with, they'll go back to the governor and make some recommendations.
And that we can do a full topic or full segment just on what's going on in education. And we might through the rest of this show. One other quick item to hit, transportation. We didn't really mention either of those, but there was a big press conference that the governor held this week along with GDOT and a couple of other influential transportation folks. We got about a minute.
Yeah.
Hit the highlights of that, and then
okay,
we'll start breaking all this stuff down in the upcoming segments.
The highlights of the transportation press conference, of course, this comes after House Bill 170 that's raised considerable amounts of money. We'll get into that, I think, in an upcoming segment. But there's a $10 billion plan that goes over the next 10 years for people for a wide variety of transportation projects throughout the state. There's also an 18-month short-term plan, obviously a little bit more detailed. The 10-year plan is a little bit longer. They also revealed a lot of new projects. There's going to be a website that you can go to. You can look up by congressional district, county, house district, state senate district, and be able to figure out what projects are being done in your area. Politically, very smart, because there was a lot of doubt over whether DOT was going to do what they were supposed to do. Now you can go and look and monitor the progress.